All right, folks, long time no see. Here we are sitting in the Fish and Frank's world headquarters, the hub of all this activity that occurs. Right now it appears to be mostly a bunch of boxes. What you've got here is you've got Mr. Robert Lukowitz seated next to me, and then, of course, myself, Captain Josh Olive, here to do the place-by-place fishing report, which is not going to be a place-by-place fishing report by any means this week, nor probably next week, nor probably the week after that.
Right.
What we have for you is kind of a generalized hodgepodge of what's been going on out there and maybe some dire warnings to try to keep you out of danger. So let's see how Robert would like to proceed, because really this is his show and I'm just the frame. Bob?
No, I think everyone out there just needs to be extremely aware that A, anything they're reading on, I mean, you do a phenomenal job as the administrator on the Fish and Frank's Fishing Club page, but I see some of the stuff, because I just finally got internet back last night, so I haven't seen nothing.
Right.
No news, no anything, but a couple things that I read on there was like, people are just idiots. You know, it's perfectly fine out there. Go do what you want. I've been up and down the intercoastal from Inglewood to Pine Island, and it's perfectly fine. Or, oh, I went here and I went there, and it's like, yeah, that's not even close.
Not quite fully accurate. And,
no.
You know, I think that they probably were telling the truth from their particular standpoint, that
sure,
they did go up and down the ICW. They didn't sink their boat. They didn't run into any major debris, and so they do think everything's fine.
Sure.
They don't know how close they came to putting a giant crack in the hull by running into an oak tree that they couldn't see that was drifting along 6 inches below the surface of the water.
Or a channel marker that sheared off right below the water line.
Or a vessel that's been sitting in the water, which we've had several of, some of which have been getting quite low in the water to the point that you can't really see them anymore.
Yeah. You know, so, and it's like, it's kind of like the guy that cuts four sheep's head in August. Hey, the sheep's head are here.
Yep.
Okay, do that 3 days in a row and let me see how that works out for you.
Yep.
Same thing. You know, the stuff is moving, shifting. That dock that's up by us, it's moved probably about another 10 feet closer to us, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's definitely moved at least 5 feet, but it's slowly shifting its way closer to us. So, there's obstacles all over the place out there, and it's like, well, just talking to Carly a second ago, she was out with her dad, Scotty Rowe, yesterday, and I asked her about any floating debris and stuff like that. She said they didn't see a lot of that, but she said on the bottom machine and on the side scan, there's all sorts of stuff on the bottom and suspended through the whole water column.
Yeah. We talked to Captain Pegleg yesterday about that, and he said that he's seeing on his side scan what basically look like whole palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
In the canals that have been knocked into the water. And, you know, you can't say, well, I know that I don't have to worry about here because I can see that they didn't lose their palm trees. You really think that the palm trees aren't going to move with the current, with the huge amount of current that flowed through those canals?
Sure.
You know, that palm tree might be from a mile and a half up.
Yeah.
Same with the boat. You can't say, well, he's got his boat on his lift, so I'm not too worried about it. Well, you have no idea what's underneath that water. Just no clue.
Yeah. Well, and look at, I mean, here's a perfect example of stuff. It's going to constantly move and shift. And was it, when was Katrina?
Katrina was a while ago.
Okay. Well.
6-7 years? Maybe it's even been longer than that. It's had to be longer than that.
Well, either way, when Katrina hit, you know, that's up in New Orleans. Morris Campbell was out there by the Christmas Ridge 80 miles out. One complete intact roof of a house floating out there. Several kayaks he came across.
And when we say the roof was floating, we don't mean it was floating fully on the surface where you could see it.
Just the tip of it, but he said both sides were totally underwater, but you could see the entire roof.
And in the clear Gulf of Mexico water, I'm sure you could, if that roof were floating in Charlotte Harbor right now.
It'd make for a good Dukes of Hazzard moment.
Yeah.
Was that the Fonz jumping the shark tank?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You'd do something like that, but, I mean, it's just
terrifying.
It is. It's all crazy. So anyone who's saying some of the stuff, like you said, yes, they might have had a safe, fine trip going out yesterday or whatever, but the reality is that no one in our lifetime has ever experienced anything like this. Not in Charlotte Harbor,
no.
For sure.
No, they haven't.
You know, even it's even different than Andrew. You know, where Andrew hit going through Biscayne Bay and everything else is a completely different entity than here. And all of that Flamingo area where it went across is uninhabited, really. So it's tree branches. It wasn't homes, boats, all that stuff that would be suspended and floating through the water column. So, and like you said earlier today on the radio show, that one point up on 70, the river was a mile and a half wide, where under normal situations this time of year you could pretty much cast across the river.
Right. And so that was going through not just wooded areas and swampy areas, but also through people's homes, through developed areas. So you have all kinds of stuff that's coming down from the rivers themselves. And remember the Myakka too.
Mm-hmm.
The Myakka was significantly flooded. I mean, if you drove over the bridge there on 75 at the Myakka, you could literally look and see, hey, there's flooded houses right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at one point, the guy who lives in the house closest to the interstate was on his roof.
Yeah.
Because that was the only dry place for him to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a disaster for a lot of people, a true catastrophe for people who thought they would never see water in their houses like they've seen it. But don't let that become your catastrophe out there in the boat, because the stuff that they lost becomes the stuff that goes through your hull.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't think you're going to see it either, because that water is beyond dark out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's the darkest I've ever seen it, but it looks like it would normally look in, say, September at the normal end of rainy season after a good tropical storm went through, which is about 2 to 4 inches of visibility.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and, you know, it's going to get better. It's definitely going to get better. The fish are eating out there. They are catching some redfish and snook and jacks and all this stuff. But the fish are completely displaced. You know, their refuges that they had up inside those creeks on the east wall and west wall are now littered with all sorts of debris, branches, everything else. And who's to say what the water flow did to a lot of those creeks? Did it make them deeper? Did they fill in with debris and now are building up with sediment and closing off and rerouting themselves to a different area? You know, I mean, who knows what kind of beaver dams have been built back there that it's going to reroute all that water.
And some places will be exactly the same, just how you remembered them, just how the fish remembered them, and other places will not be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, go walk through your neighborhood and look at the trees. Some of the oak trees that you're familiar with are still standing there. They look just like they did, except they ain't got no leaves on them right now. But other places, you have trees down, it's totally changed that landscape in that area. And it's going to be the same out on the water. Not just with the trees, but also with bottom flow.
Right.
You know, sandbars shift. A lot of the bottom is pretty soft out there. A lot of it will get moved around by the amount of water that we saw. And remember, it's not just water moving. It was water being pushed by 100 to 150 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
So that's going to make some changes. And listen, we're not trying to scare you from going out on the water ever again. You know, that's not the point here. What we do want to do is we want to make sure that you go out with due caution when you go out. And we're advising that if you don't have to go out right now, maybe wait until it's a little bit safer. Maybe wait until things have settled down a little bit. We still have a lot of flood water going on. People are pulling things out of the water, but there's a lot of things still in the water, especially in the canals.
Yeah, I mean, even after Charlie, it took 2 years, they were still pulling stuff out of the water. You know, and right now their main concern of pulling debris out of the water is stuff that's an environmental hazard, like boats with oil and gas in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are going to be the first thing they want to remove, because that long term of that can be catastrophic. So they're worried about that. They're not worried about the lanai that's laying in the middle of the canal.
Yeah, a hazard to navigation is much less concern, because there really shouldn't be that many people out there navigating right now.
Right. You know, so you've got a lot of different entities all over the place, just mainly pulling boats for that purpose. And then they'll start to work on tree limbs and pool cages and whatever else that can be a problem.
Yeah.
But that'll be the last thing to come out.
It will. And remember, if you're going to go out there and go boating anyway, which I know a lot of you are going to, because let's face it, outdoors people are often very independently minded.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that we love about y'all. It's one of the things we love about ourselves. But just be aware that your infrastructure is shot out there. Don't expect to pull up to a marina and be able to get fuel. You know, don't expect that if you run into trouble that CETO is going to be there in the normal time that they normally would be.
Yeah, you thought 3 hours was slow?
Yeah, wait. When they're in the middle of doing boat recoveries and trying to, you know, refloat sunken vessels, then they've got bigger fish to fry. You can wait because you're just sitting on a sandbar.
Yeah.
You're not going to die. You're not polluting the environment. You can hang out right there for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and first responders have been very busy with search and rescue. And look around your communities. You'll see that there's a lot of sheriff's department and police folks even still from other areas because our own are very overworked right now. They're very overrun with what they're doing. And a lot of them are dealing with after effects of the hurricane. They've lost houses. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do to make their futures whole again.
Right.
So if you're fortunate enough that you've put your life back together and you're thinking, well, now I need to get back out on the water and get things back to normal. Well, you know, maybe it's not quite time yet. I'm not even sure if you will be able to get out. You know, according to Charlotte County, the county parks are all closed and all the boat ramps are in county parks. So Scotty Rowe said that they closed him in at Port Charlotte Beach the other day. He said in order to get out, he had to move a barricade. And I know that they've said they're using the Placida West boat ramp as a debris collection site. And I've been told that they're collecting debris off Little Gasparilla Island, and that's where they're putting it so that waste management can come and get it, because they got to barge that stuff over.
Right.
But what I don't know is if they're putting it at the boat ramp itself or if they're putting it in the overflow parking lot. Because it says Placida West boat ramp, which I think is the boat ramp that doesn't exist yet.
Right.
But it's very much not clear right now, and I haven't driven out there to look.
Right. And you can't even drive onto Boca Grande. So, like a lot of our local people who want to go fishing, even land-based fishing, technically, legally, you're not going to get onto Boca Grande unless you work there or you're an emergency vehicle.
Yeah. But you can drive out to Manasota Key.
Mm-hmm.
You can go fish the beach out there. I'd even be cautious about that, though, because, you know, I love to wade fish. I don't love to wade fish right now with so much stuff in the water. And
right.
At that point, I'm less concerned with debris. But there's also been some chemical pollution. Like you said, there's vehicles and boats that have leaked a lot of stuff out there. We had overwash in Fort Myers Beach and in Sanibel, where literally whatever chemicals happened to be in people's garages and their backyards and their carports and their houses,
swimming pools,
is now out there in the water, and that stuff washed into Charlotte Harbor, not out the other direction. So
You've
got that going on. We had a huge amount of sewage that was lost, especially in Sarasota County, but I'm sure that Lee County will be reporting a lot of loss too there. And so that's spread potential bacteria into the water, and we do also have a lot of Vibrio vulnificus out there, which is a flesh-eating bacteria. So these are things that you really don't want to expose yourself to unnecessarily, and yeah, it's all unnecessary right now.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, be patient. You know, everyone's so used to internet being right there at their fingertips, a phone call, drive-through food, all that crap. Everything's so instant gratification. This isn't going to be that case.
It's
not. This is going to be patient. It will get better. It might be even more better than it was. There are some benefits to all this flushing of the harbor and stuff like that, but it's not going to happen overnight. It literally is not. So
not at all.
Just got to be patient. Be patient with us. Be patient with Mother Nature. And most importantly, just be patient all together with everybody around you, because the society as a whole is pretty screwed up in this area. We thought it was bad with COVID and how weird everybody was and the political unrest with people and all that crap. You just added 10 tons of bricks. So, I mean, this is a serious onion layer of stress.
And a lot of people don't seem to be getting it. I think especially people who are transplants from elsewhere and have not seen these kinds of storms before. You know, I mean, this was a bad one, but we have seen hurricanes in this area before. We kind of knew kind of what to expect once we saw what that track was going to do. We had a pretty good idea. But other people didn't. And, you know, one of the things that I want to mention is how fortunate we were to have missed the storm surge.
oh, 10 more miles to the north. I'm really pretty positive if it would have slid just 10 more miles to the north and then hooked in, we'd be Fort Myers Beach.
If it pushed that water up into Charlotte Harbor instead of up into Pine Island Sound, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't think it would have been 10 more miles. I think it would have been closer to 20 or 25. That would have put you on the really bad side of the storm. That would have put that water into Charlotte Harbor. That would have brought it up into Burnt Store, into Pirate Harbor, into PGI, into Burnt Store Isles, into the Port Charlotte canals. You know, and the problem is, the further north you get into Charlotte Harbor, the more that water is getting pushed up into a funnel. And
right.
in this particular storm, where you already had the rivers at flood stage, there wouldn't have been a lot more for them to go up the rivers. They would have been going up into the canal front neighborhoods and the waterfront areas of Charlotte County. And people don't believe, they can't wrap their heads around the idea that you could have 10 feet of water, 15 feet of water in your yard where you're living waterfront. But we absolutely could have with this storm. Mm-hmm. If it had gone where they initially said, I mean, just a day before the storm, they said somewhere between Venice and Sarasota. If that had been the case, we would have seen nearly a worst case scenario with storm surge in Charlotte County.
Absolutely.
So I am so grateful that we took the eye wall versus taking the lesser winds but the more water that could have happened here. And most people, no clue how close they were to that bullet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people evacuated in your neighborhood?
Not nearly as many as should have. But
right. I know some
there was
did.
There was a lot that did it at the last minute.
Right. But would you say it's half?
On my street alone, I would say probably not quite half.
Okay. So if half the people living waterfront in Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte had evacuated, that still leaves 50% of the population there behind that would have experienced that 10 to 15 feet of water. And
death.
It's not something that you really want to experience, because
they only experience it once, because that would probably be their last experience.
Yep.
I mean, honestly.
And it's not just water coming up. It's water coming up and being driven by hurricane winds.
Yeah.
So it's not just calm water coming in. You know, people are like, oh, well, I'll be fine because I live on the second story. Okay. You want me to transplant your building into 10 feet of water out in the Gulf of Mexico during a hurricane? You think you'll be safe on the second story up there?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to happen. The Gulf of Mexico is going to move into your neighborhood and get whipped up by all those winds. So if you feel like you'd be safe in 10 feet of water in the Gulf during a hurricane while living on the second story, then by all means, don't evacuate.
Right. Yeah. No, it's crazy. But, you know, we're telling you all this just because we want all of our listeners that are up north that are going to be coming down this winter, if you're not already down, to just be cautious, and it will get better. And hopefully, I mean, honestly, I don't see us doing a report for at least another week or two.
No, it won't make any sense to do place by place. You're not going to have the reports to do it anyway.
No, it'll be over a month to 2 months before we can start doing a little bit of place by place. And it's going to be just, hey, we're going to skip this big area, and then we're going to go to this area and have a couple spots. And then we'll go to this spot, and that, you know, it's going to be a hodgepodge mess for a few months.
Yeah. But on the other hand, we're not saying stay home either. If you're planning to come back down to Florida, if you've got a place to come down to, if the place that you rent or your house down here doesn't have major damage, then by all means, come on down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be weird here for a while. Your favorite restaurant may not be open. There may be some changes to your routine, but that's okay. You can still come on down. I would say probably about by Thanksgiving, things will be getting a lot closer to normal.
Yeah.
Not fully normal. Not fully normal for a long time.
No.
But a lot closer to normal.
A new normal.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of new stuff to change out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just be safe, be cautious, and most importantly, just be patient.
And for those of you who are living down here, if you've got your life back together, just remember that not everybody has. Some people have lost a whole lot in this storm. Some people have lost everything, and unfortunately, a lot of those people didn't have much to start with.
Right.
You know, if you have a nice concrete blockhouse like mine that stood up well to the storm. You know, you can be grateful for that, but you also need to spare a thought for the folks who are living in mobile homes or who are living in older wooden framed houses that did not do very well.
Right.
And in a lot of places, it didn't matter what kind of house you had, because once it floods 4 feet up into your house, it doesn't really matter what your house is built of.
Yeah.
You know, you can build them out of brick, straw, mud. It's still not going to do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's important that we keep that in mind, that not everybody's storm recovery looks the same. And for those of you who are complaining about, I want my internet back, you know, that's your big complaint at this point. And we'll just be grateful and think about how fortunate you are to be able to focus on not being able to have your internet or not being able to get your boat back out on the water. Because there are folks who are sitting in their waterlogged houses right now trying to figure out how in the world they are going to carry on their lives.
Right. Absolutely. No, I like it. But
yeah, this is a very unusual fishing report.
It is. I mean, that's about all we can really say, other than we just wanted to kind of get everyone kind of at least updated that we're still functioning. We're going to get more info. With these fishing reports being as hopscotch as they are, the best thing I can suggest is call the shop. Next week, we'll be back to normal hours. Next Thursday, we'll be back to our normal hours. This week, we're 9 to 5, just trying to get everybody situated and slowly back into this. But if they want to know something that's going on, to call here, and we'll give them the best updated advice that we can. But
right.
Putting it on paper going to be tough.
And just to talk a little bit about fishing, we are opening, the state of Florida is opening the lottery for the Goliath grouper permits. That opens today, October the 15th, and will close on October the 30th. So if you have any dreams of going out there and legally harvesting a Goliath grouper, that'll be your opportunity to do it. If you just do a quick Google search for FWC Goliath grouper, the first page that pops up will have all the information that you need on there to let you know how you can apply. It's a $10 application fee. If you actually are lucky enough to pull one of the 200 permits, if you're a Florida resident, the permit's $150. If you are not, it's a $500 permit. And that will allow you to harvest one Goliath grouper next year during the season between 24 and 36 inches.
Nice.
So there you go. Pretty expensive by the pound.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, for some people, I'm sure it'll be worth it.
Probably still cheaper than doing a boat and going out for grouper fishing.
Probably.
It's about $25 a pound, right?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Speaking of which, if you want to do that, you know, the Red Snapper weekends are open now. So I'm sure that some folks are going out there and doing that in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at the moment.
No.
But and that's a private season only. That is not a charter season. So this is only recreational anglers, and it's not going to last that much longer. So if you've still got a boat and you want to head out there into the Gulf of Mexico, you do have the opportunity to go out and harvest red snapper on the weekends.
Nice.
As for the rest of this, hey, it'll happen when it happens.
Yes,
so.
Very good point.
All right, anything else to talk about here, Bob?
No, I think we did enough doom and gloom.
Okay, well, we'll try to be more cheerful next time we do one of these.
Yeah. Hey, it's out there. At least we get people to be understanding and fill them in on what's really going on.
Yep. All right. I reckon that's it. So say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.